Okay, I've got a question. How do you get into a relationship with somebody? How does it start? What are the steps towards a relationship? Anybody?
Say hi.
Say hi. That's a good step, yeah? Another one? Make a day. That's good, yeah? Anybody else? Come on. Do you want to put that up, Sandra?
Say hi.
Excellent. I like that. Okay. All right. So the first thing, you have to meet. Okay. The second thing is that there needs to be a desire for a relationship. And obviously those can be interchangeable. I mean, some of us have seen, like in my case, I saw Diana and I desired a relationship with her, even though I hadn't met her. So those two are interchangeable. And then the third thing is what Dagmar said, and that is that you need to actually talk to each other. You actually have to converse with each other. I think that's up there. Yep. They need to spend time with one another. And that's, yeah. So, I don't know, how many of you have seen Fireproof? Most of you, I guess, have seen Fireproof. There's a guy, there's a little account of the fireman who's really struggling with his relationship with his wife, and he reads The Love Day, and one of the things that he's challenged to do is to really learn to know his wife. And it's like his analogy is primary school, high school, university, honors, master's, doctorate. And in our relationship with the Lord, it's exactly the same. We start with these baby steps, like primary school, play school, and we actually develop. But the way we develop it is in conversation with Him. We actually have to communicate with Him. Okay, so that's what we're talking about is prayer. I just want to read a summary here. When we talk about unity, unity with the Lord is achieved exclusively by acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and submitting to Him and what He's done and continues to do for us. So I'm just laying a foundation here. Unity in the body of Christ is achieved by submitting to His will, Jesus' will, and as each individual in the church genuinely listens to and seeks to obey the Lord, there will be oneness, because everyone will be serving the Lord's vision. And where there isn't oneness in the body or unity in the body, it's because people are not listening to the Lord. So how do we achieve that? How do we achieve this thing of unity? It's, well, let me just see what I wrote there. Okay. So how do we know what to obey? How do we know what the thing is we're supposed to be obeying? And how do we get the power to obey it? And to me, the answer is actually through studying the scriptures and through prayer. So we all know how to study the scriptures. We've all got Bibles. We know how to read. We're very blessed, in fact, in that. A lot of people in the world can't read. We can. So the teaching or the studying the scriptures is an easy one. So let's talk about prayer. I just want to look at... We're talking about prayer and intercession. So, briefly, prayer is the whole thing we've just sketched now. It's about the conversations with the Lord. Intercession is an aspect of prayer. But before I go to the intercession, I just want to talk to you about the scripture Mark 11, 22 and 25. I just love the context is where Jesus was walking along and he saw a fig tree and there was no fruit on it. So he said, "May you never ever bear fruit again." Next day, they were walking along, and his disciples said, "Hey, look at that fig tree. It's withered. It's gone. It's dead." And so he said to them, and I'm just quoting from the message, Jesus was matter of fact. In other words, it's not strange to him. This is just no big deal. "Embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling, no shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large." Now, that's everything. Small to large means the tiniest need or nation-changing stuff. "Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. Not just some of what God has for you, everything. And when you assume the position of prayer, remember that it's not all asking, and that's vital. Talking again about conversation, you need to hear and you need to speak. If you have anything against somebody, forgive. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins." And there you go. I mean, it's such a simple principle, but so powerful. And I love the language in this, which is why I used it particularly. Okay, so, when do we pray? Ephesians 6, verse 18 quotes Paul, and he says, "Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere." So we pray all the time. We never stop. We're told often to pray without ceasing. And how do we do that? The simple truth is that to pray without ceasing, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit working in us. All of us who have been through the foundations have learned that we can be and should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we receive a prayer language, and we're able to exercise that prayer language no matter what we're doing. Okay. For whom do we pray? 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 4 read, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So, everybody. Nobody's excluded. Pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. So it's not just asking, it's pleading. There's that sense of going on your knees and actually laying yourself out for somebody else. And give thanks. And that's the thing of exercising faith. It's saying, I believe that I need to pray for all people. I believe that Scripture tells me that everybody should be saved. That's God's heart. And I can thank Him for that because He wants it. Pray this way for kings and all other who are in authority. So everybody is in authority. So that we can live in peace and quietness, in godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, for He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God, one mediator, who can reconcile God and people. He is the man Christ Jesus. So when we pray for all people, this is one of the things we're praying. We pray not only with an inward focus, but with an outward focus as well. Who is an intercessor? The word intercede comes from a Latin word, and it means go-between. It means that we plead with one person on behalf of another. So an intercessor is one who goes between. In Hebrews 7:25, the word has the sense of to confer with, which is actually a special word. I love that because it's not just going to somebody and saying, David, blah, 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 download. It's the conferring with. And if you think, Diana didn't like my illustration, I'm going to use it anyway. If you think of a parent with a child and you imagine you're at a braai and there's a braai fire and there's pans and scuttles and all kinds of things and there's hot stuff and you're watching your child and you're saying to him, don't touch, it's hot, it'll burn you. And the child keeps going back and you keep saying, don't touch, it's hot, you'll burn yourself. Eventually, the parents will normally get to a point where they will confer together. They will actually talk about it. And in the interest of their child's well-being, they will allow the child to burn himself. But it'll be a quick thing because they'll be there to immediately rescue them from the danger. But the child will then have learned a valuable principle. And that's what the Lord does with us sometimes. We pray for people. We confer with Him. We say to Him, what is your tactic for this situation? And we actually faithfully follow His instructions. That's the sense of conferring with. It's to actually talk about it, to come up with a tactic or a method of dealing with the situation and doing it. The Nuttall's Everyday Dictionary defines intercession as mediation with a view to reconciliation. I just really love that. That's what Jesus does for us all the time. He is speaking to His Father all the time with a view to reconciling us, human beings, to His Father. And then if you think of just an illustration of this from the Scriptures, if you think about the story of Joseph in Genesis, he was not very popular with his brothers because he was a bit full of himself, as prophets often are. And he had visions and stuff, and they wanted to kill him. And Reuben actually said to him, don't kill him, don't kill him. Just put him in the cistern over here, but don't kill him. So he pleaded with him, with his brothers, not to kill Joseph. And then later on, the Ishmaelites came along, and Judah said, okay, hey, what about it? We'll sell him. So again, he interceded on behalf of Joseph, and Joseph was not killed. And the result was amazing when we look at the benefits for Israel, in fact, for us today. So both Reuben and Judah interceded on behalf of Joseph. Why do we call Christ our intercessor? It's because He pleads with His Father on our behalf. He's our go-between. He takes the role of advocate for us. And He's our mediator and reconciler. And if you think about Jesus on the cross, what was his greatest act of reconciliation was to go to the cross. Why does Christ intercede for us? Anybody tell me why Christ intercedes for us? Yeah, that's it. Bottom line, He loves us. We're His bride. And, I mean, come on, Corvus is grinning, yes. You'd do anything for your bride, wouldn't you? I would for my bride, anything. And that's what Jesus does for us, if you think about that. He wants us to be in unity with Him, Himself, and with one another. Because a bride that is divided is no bride at all. That's so important. Andre actually used the scripture, John 17, 20 to 20, 24, I think it is. 23, yes. Sorry, I didn't write it down here. But if you read that, Jesus is praying, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in Me. So that's us, because of the testimonies of the original disciples. My prayer for all of them, not some of them, all of them, is that they will be one, just as you and I are one, Father. That just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. I in them, and you in me, all being perfected into one. The sense of the Father being in Christ and Christ being in us. We have the completeness. The Holy Spirit is well in us. Then the world will know that you sent me, will understand that you love them as much as you love me. That's awesome. Why should we intercede for the people around us and the people in the world? And that's because the Lord loves them just as much as he loves everybody else, us as well. And he wants all men to be saved. We've already read that in the scriptures. And because we love them, and if we don't love them, we actually need to go to the Lord and say, will you plant in me a seed of love for the people around me, for the world around me, so that I can see them the way that you can see, the way that you see them, and start to pray, to actually intercede for them, to be the mediator, in a sense. And when we pray for the people around us in the body, it's because we want the body to be in unity. And that's the whole thing Andre again was talking about, where one part is not healthy, the whole body is affected. If you talk about cancer, it starts with one cell that's not healthy, but it spreads to take over and destroy the whole body if it is not nipped in the bud or cut out. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 19 speaks of Christ the reconciler, and that we are called to reconcile men to God. And if we read that scripture, it says, all this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. This is the wonderful message he's given us to tell others. If you want an encapsulated gospel, there it is, that verse 18. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. That's it. That's the gospel. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is actually telling that, broadcasting that wonderful message to everybody else in the world. Okay, so now, how do we learn to pray and intercede? Anybody got any ideas? By doing it. Yes, by doing it. We learn it by doing. That's, I think, the best principle. If you look at children as well, you'll see that they learn by doing. We learn by doing. But we also learn by imitating, and that's very important. If you want to know how to pray, if you want some shortcuts, actually get involved in prayer meetings. Go to prayer meetings where people really pray and watch them, observe them, listen to them. It's so important to imitate as well as do. But don't imitate shaky people. Yeah, we need to exercise discernment. I just want to just illustrate that if you, lots of you have, in fact, most of us have studied at some level, and when we go to university or wherever to study, we go there and we read and we listen to lectures and we study like mad and we write exams. We actually get a whole lot of head knowledge, but very little practical knowledge. We actually almost, in a sense, we have equipping, but we don't know how to apply the equipping that we received. And that's kind of what prayer is. The Lord has given us a whole lot of gifts and stuff, and we've all identified our giftings, but we're actually a little bit shaky about how we apply them. And that's where we need, again, that gifting thing was excellent in that it said for every one of those gifts, first, step number one, go to the Lord. And that, again, it's a very important part of prayer. And I found in my own life that one of the things that's taught me to pray has been desperate need, where I've been desperate. There's been no other way out. So I've tried every other avenue, and eventually I've got to God. And he's been shaking me until I've actually got to the point where, pray. And then you see the answers. Okay, practical pointers in prayer. The first step for me is ask Jesus to teach you how to pray. I mean, if you want to know how to pray, ask the great intercessor. So ask him. That's what his disciples did, and he taught them how to pray so simply. Pray interactively. We've spoken about that a lot. It's conversation. Just remember, and I've said this a lot, you've heard it before, you've got two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, a whole lot of sensory organs or sensory nerve endings on your skin. You've got one mouth. And in a way, prayer is supposed to be like that. We're supposed to spend a lot more time receiving from the Lord before we speak. And we need to count our words. We need to speak what we've heard. It's important. Pray, and these couple of lines, I must admit, I have shamelessly taken from what Fred May preached a couple of Sundays ago. Pray expecting the Lord to give back to you. And it is so important. When we pray, don't just do it as an exercise. Okay, I've got to pray today, so okay, let me spend half an hour, whatever, in prayer. Now that's done. Okay, let's get on with the day. Pray knowing that what you're saying to God is heard by Him and that He's going to act on it. We are His agents on the earth. I don't understand. I don't think any of us will ever understand until we're with Him why He's limited Himself to working through us, but He has. He will not move on the earth as a general principle unless He has spoken to His body, and He moves through His body. We are His agents. So if you want to be called an agent of change, be a Christian. Learn the art of waiting on the Lord. Be still and wait with Him. Not wait on Him or wait for Him. Wait with Him. If you want to know how to do that, one of the keys for me in that is to worship. I found that one of the best places of intimacy for me in prayer is in worship. I hear from the Lord more clearly, more accurately, and more often in worship than any other place. And that's, in a sense, waiting with the Lord. Okay, so try and get that as well. Establish yourself in the position that you should be occupying. So, Lone Rangers are very dangerous people. There's no accountability. Nobody's there to actually say, hey, guy, but you're going a bit off here or there. Be sure that you're part of a body where you are accountable to other people, where you're serving other people. We are all called to be servants. Jesus is a servant. I was so blessed yesterday when we were praying in the group we were praying in. I think about two-thirds of the people, their major gifting was that of service. And I thought that was so beautiful because Christ served. That's what He came to do. His whole way of doing things was as a servant. So remember that. We need to be in a position of servanthood when we pray, not trying to impose our will on other people or trying to manipulate God into doing things the way we want to see things done. But as a servant, as people who love, that's what we need to be doing. And I think that's also key. Remember that the scriptures teach us that no matter what we do, if we're not doing it in love, it's just empty, it's dead. So even if we come to the Lord and we're finding that we don't have love, we can actually ask Him for it. Because He's love. So if we want love, we actually need to get it from Him. So again, it's vital. When we pray, we need to be praying because we love the people we're praying for. And then we've spoken about praying with other people. And then a key for me is to remember a lot of people are inclined to use the name of Jesus as a formula. It's like just, you know, when we pray, we say, in Jesus' name. And it's like, that's the magic word. Okay, now it's going to happen. That's not the sense of that at all. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying as Jesus would do. In other words, we are, in a sense, taking the character of Christ onto our souls and praying as He would have done in that situation. That is what praying in Jesus' name is about. It's not just a little add-on at the end. Okay, so that's really, very quickly, what I wanted to say. But I want to remind you of who we are praying to. Who are we praying to? We're praying to Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the Son of the Father. The Father is the one who created the whole universe with a word. He spoke and it came into being. That is who we're praying to. We're not praying to some little God. We're praying to an awesome God. He is matchless. He is limitless. We're praying to Jesus Christ, who fed 5,000 people using five loaves of bread. We're talking to somebody who called to His disciple and He walked on water. That's who we're praying to. We're praying to the God of miracles, of the impossible. He can do anything. He has no limits at all. And His love for us is boundless. If you just turn around, in fact, turn around and look at the sea, all of you. Just turn around and look at the sea. Can any one of you stop one of those waves rolling in? It's preposterous, isn't it? I mean, you could put up a whole lot of dolos or something, and they might stand for a while, but you wouldn't stop it. And that is God's love, His mercy, His grace, is as relentless as that ocean marching in. That's who we're praying to. Keep that in mind when you're praying. It's so important. And then we're going to be praying, when I stop now, we're going to be praying that His kingdom would come. That's one of the things we're going to be praying. Where is God's kingdom? Can anybody tell me? That's good. Anybody else? Come on, guys. What's a kingdom? It's a kingdom is where somebody rules, right? Exactly. So a kingdom is where Jesus rules. His kingdom is where He rules. So basically, everybody who submitted their lives to Him, we are a part of His kingdom. So the people in this room are a part of His kingdom. And we want to see His kingdom extended. We have authority. We have dominion. When we were created, the Lord said to us, take dominion over the creation. Rule it. Steward it. Look after it. So if we actually take that role seriously and we start to occupy the space that we're in, we can actually take dominion over the physical stuff as well. We can take dominion over areas, over properties. We can do that. We can take dominion over the spiritual realm because we've been given authority to do that. So we can say we occupy a space in East London. We are Shofar Church in East London. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. We can call on his name and ask him to come and rule because we are here. And he will do it. So we need to understand that. It's so important. One of the, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you now. In Daniel 9, we read about how Daniel read the scriptures. And he understood from the scriptures that a period of 70 years had elapsed since Jerusalem had been basically zapped by the Lord because of sin. And that time had elapsed. And he went to the Lord on his knees, 28 days of fasting and prayer. And the Lord came through and answered his prayer. And if you go and read in 2 Chronicles 36, 22, and 23, that you will see that the Lord stirred the heart of King Cyrus of Persia to restore the Israelites to Jerusalem. Not only that, but to build the temple for the people in Jerusalem. That's what prayer does. It's listening to the heart of God, observing the signs of the time, and actually saying, Lord, you said, you have promised that this will be, and I want to see it happen. And he will move way beyond our wildest dreams. The Israelites didn't, they would never have imagined that Cyrus would actually come through, not only to release them, but to say, hey guys, here are all the resources you need. I'm giving you the materials to build your temple. I'll even send people to help you. That's God. That's a godly move. When we pray, we need to pray with that heart. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. I was very, very blessed. We need to get excited when somebody else ministers in their very own unique way. We need to appreciate every gifting. Thanks, Michael. It was really good. Can you put on my that little picture, that relationship week, relationship series thing? Just go down there, my PowerPoint. So I want us to, and I asked Michael to share about prayer because, as I said yesterday, I want to invite you guys to join us for 28 days of prayer. That means on Monday evenings to join us for prayer there. Or Wednesday mornings at 6 at Lavender Blue, and then also before church at 4:15 on a Sunday afternoon. And I want to encourage you to commit to pray every day for whatever you think you can as a minimum. So I'm going to pray 10 minutes every day for the church and for the will of God to be done in East London. If you want to do 30 minutes, you do 30 minutes. You can do an hour, but to say, God, I'm going to do it every day. So I'm going to have a list tonight at church, and I want you to write down your name if you are willing to commit for the month, okay? So, in general, I've been preaching the past while we've been focusing on Christians in church. So if you're a really unbeliever, you probably wouldn't relate very well because you can't just have evangelistic messages the whole time. So that's why we try to focus, say, for 5-6 weeks plus on discipling, empowering believers, equipping you guys, and then in between we focus then on having a few services that would bless Christians and unbelievers to trust the Lord to minister in a way that will bless everybody. Okay, so as I said yesterday, Beyond the Norm, series on relationship, and it's just something in my heart still. I don't know how it's going to happen in the end, but I want us to pray for this and to start praying for people we know, Christians, non-Christians, especially non-Christians, and especially unchurched people. Or at the very least, people that are in churches that are not being fed at all. So I'm talking about if a person is in a life-giving church, then they must stay there and go on. But if they're in a church that, I mean, they're dying there, you know, then they're welcome to come to our church. Okay, does that make sense to you? Okay, so it's not sheep stealing, it's... You want people to flourish and have life, okay? So if they say in Christian Center, which is a life-giving church, bless them, stay there. These people, stay there, be blessed or whatever, okay? So I just want us now to take some time to pray for this and then just to pray for us as a church to be a praying and worshiping church. And that's something else I wanted to say as well. Oh, yes. We want to make these church services something special. So what I'm currently doing is I pray and I get a picture or something or a word for 4 weeks from now or whatever, and then I just start praying and trusting the Lord for ideas of how one can make it interesting. Because we want to make it must really be something special, like with the birthplace of the church, we packed up the place with candles, and Adele did a dance, and we had the fire on the screen, and we just did some interesting things at a video clip, and it would just be awesome if we could have like people in the church that could add and say, I've got an idea for that. We want to do a play or a this or a that or a whatever. I want to make flowers for that day or so forth. But to really pray and to ask the Lord that if we can have a situation where people know that if they come to our church, it's going to be something unique there. Not necessarily massive, but it's going to be unique. And the Lord will be there. You know, I think that's the most important thing, that the Lord will be there. Okay, so we're just going to break into groups of six or five.